Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, and joining me this week is Jason Harris, comedian and filmmaker extraordinaire. Thank you for being here.
Yay!
And possible reenactor of the film that we're going to discuss today. We'll see how that goes. So that film is Shutter Island, the new movie from Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, the dream team of Hollywood, apparently. And it's sort of a departure, I think you could say, from at least from the last few movies that Scorsese has done. It's a little more pulpy, a little more sort of genre oriented, less serious than his last three or four movies, I guess you could say, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think it's interesting for directors to sort of try different stuff, and he's done movies on this vein before. I think maybe like his remake of Cape Fear, which was a long time ago, but was a sort of lean genre kind of thing. And I liked this movie at first, but this was a movie that I felt like the more I thought about it, the less that I liked it. It has a lot of good atmosphere. I think Scorsese is a great visual stylist, and he works really well with actors, and all that stuff creates a nice sort of sense of dread around this story. DiCaprio is a U.S. Marshal who is investigating the disappearance of an inmate at a asylum for the criminally insane on the island. But story-wise, it doesn't hang together, I don't think. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm such a huge Scorsese fan. Like, anytime I get to see a Scorsese movie, it's worth it. And the one thing, like, that you had mentioned, like, he's a fun genre director just because he knows, like, any genre. Like, he'll study it and he'll know it better than anyone else. So
yeah.
It was, like, from a visual standpoint, like, it was great. And in some of, like, those kind of dream sequences and flashback scenes, like, there were shots that were amazing.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's true. And I thought that carried it for a long time, where I felt like I'm not all that engaged in the story, but I'm really impressed with how he's putting it all together. But then by the end of the movie, especially when they spend, like, 20 minutes towards the end sort of explaining everything to you, I was really ready for it to be over.
That's where, like, I was enjoying the movie, and then in big act three explanation, like, it was like a little, it was long, and there was a really kind of, I mean, it's important to the movie. There's another kind of flashback scene, but it was, it's going to be very disturbing for a lot of audience people to see that, I think.
I mean, that's okay with me. I don't mind the images that are disturbing or that are sort of creepy or whatever. I mean, it's a scary movie. It's meant to be scary, and that,
yeah,
and that's okay. I just felt like that long sequence at the end, you sort of already understand what's going on, what's at stake, and it really belabors the step by step analysis of what we've just seen.
I agree with you. Like, you know, had they been able to trim about 20 minutes or, you know, 18 minutes to make it a two hour
film, yeah.
So I agree. And like, you know, it is sometimes, like, as a writer, you know, you could tell, like, oh, okay, this guy has maybe written himself into a corner, and the
yeah.
only way out is to explain everything, you know? So.
Yeah, and when you've got, like, a whiteboard, and they're writing people's names, and they're like, now look at how this way, it's like
yeah.
being in a classroom
you
or
can't,
something.
And as an audience member, like, I don't know about you, but I was like, I don't know what they have in common. Like,
right.
I'm not a champion word game. Did you figure
I don't know. No, I did not figure that part out. But I think the broad strokes of what turns out to be going on are really easy to figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you want to try, you can pretty much guess it. If I mean, or maybe you can't.
Right.
I thought I did.
I mean, I think a lot of people probably did. I think it's fairly apparent even from the trailer what the big main secret of the film is. And that's not necessarily a problem if the journey towards that revelation is worthwhile. And I think it is up to a point, but eventually it just is kind of going in circles, and it's just taking all of these digressions to get where you know it's going to end up anyway.
Yeah, you know why? Because, and I agree with you, it's because, you know, they keep introducing all these little characters.
Right.
And it's like, you know, show a gun in act one, use it in act three. Like, he basically, the DiCaprio character has to interact with all these characters that are You know, like there's the warden, right?
Right.
And the warden, I mean, could you have cut his role completely and been fine?
Yeah, probably. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there's like all these like little things like that that are just kind of weird. And, you know, I mean, it felt in a way like a little Brian De Palma, the movie to me. You know?
Yeah, in a way. And I like, even though Brian De Palma gets totally crapped on for his recent work, I actually like Brian De Palma.
Yeah. I mean, the best stuff was this, the creepier the stuff was, the better it was.
Yeah. So
there's a big scene with him and Emily Mortimer. And they're interviewing, you know, he's interviewing her. And it's such a weird, just like, you know, like if this ever happened in real life,
right,
thing, it would just freak you out. And, you know, I think that was like the best stuff in there. And
yeah, that was. I mean, there are a lot of those scenes where actors like Emily Mortimer and Patricia Clarkson, Jackie Earle Haley, Ted Levine, who you mentioned, who plays the warden, that come in for basically one scene and sort of give it their all, and then you don't really see them again. And those are all strong actors, and you kind of watch those scenes and you think like, this is impressive, but I don't know if all of those scenes add up to a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, I liked it. I didn't love it. But yeah. I agree with you. It's, like, one of those things where it's, like, it's all there, but it just doesn't, like, take it over to the next level,
right,
so to speak.
And I think that's what people expect from someone like Scorsese.
Yeah.
Who is this great, brilliant, much-awarded director.
Right. And the thing with him is, obviously, everything is very well thought out, well planned out, and I don't know. Maybe sometimes, like, it just doesn't get there as a film.
Right.
You know?
But, yeah. I mean, I think in the hands of another director, this would have been a much worse film.
Yes,
because
I
from
agree.
A writing and a story standpoint, it's nothing special. It's just kind of a lame genre thing that relies on a twist.
Yeah.
But
the acting's really good.
Yeah.
The visually, it's awesome. Atmosphere is great.
Yeah.
Music's really
right. The music
weird.
Is very different, and
yeah.
I mean, you can, from like the get go, you can sense that they're doing something interesting with the score.
Yeah, to kind of go on what you're saying about if another director had it, like,
yeah,
I agree with you, and that's one thing I did appreciate. It did have that like feel of like, you know, an old like 1940s kind
yeah.
of like
yeah.
old mystery, and
it
like,
did.
And that was a lot of fun. Well, not fun, but it was well placed.
Yeah,
you know?
It was entertaining to watch.
As opposed to just like, you know, someone who would have just made a totally down the middle thriller.
Right. Would have thrown in a lot more like jump moments and overdone the music in a crappy way. And
yeah,
definitely.
His scares are earned.
Right.
And also, like, you know, we were talking about it last night. There was one sequence where they get to like, There's three wards on the island, and Ward C is where they keep the craziest,
the most violent, right?
Yeah, and there's a big sequence of DiCaprio walking down the hall, and most directors would have like tried to heighten it with like really overdone music, and he just lets it go silent and makes it scarier, just
right.
with normal, you know, atmospheric noise. And I think, like, you know, if nothing else, you appreciate the care that he puts into his films.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely, and I think that elevates this beyond what it would have been otherwise. But at the same time, I don't know. I guess I felt like it didn't elevate it quite enough for it to work for me.
I agree.
I would give it probably 2.5 stars out of 5. Between that and 3, I don't know. It's worth seeing, but I think only if you're really into Scorsese.
Yeah. So then, since I am really into Scorsese, out of 5 King of Comedy DVDs, his most underrated film.
Yeah.
I'd go with 3.
3.
Three,
yeah.
Yeah, 3
yeah.
comedy DVDs.
I think that's fair. So, I mean, as a huge Scorsese fan, is that your favorite, would you say, King of Comedy?
I mean, to me it's just like you can't go wrong pretty much choosing you know, like
yeah.
any of the movies that he pretty much staked his legend on, Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, I think, or Goodfellas. I think Goodfellas is probably, to me, the best movie ever made.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not the only one who said that. You know,
yeah.
there's like this whole camp of like Godfather versus Goodfellas, and I'm not a big, you know, huge gangster,
right?
Guy, but I just think Goodfellas is like a perfect movie.
Yeah.
You know. And then this decade, I loved The Aviator. That was like my favorite movie of the decade.
I think.
So, you know, I mean, you just learn a lot just by watching him. Like, you know, like, I think he's to the point where he's influenced so many filmmakers that they can't even say that he's influenced them, because everyone who's been influenced by like the Tarantinos and everything, you know,
yeah.
they've been influenced by Scorsese, whether they know it or not, or right. Guy Ritchie's or whatever. I don't know how many people.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Who have been whatever. But, you know, all the people who are, like, of the Tarantino school, Tarantino's of the Scorsese school.
Right,
you
know, right. Yeah, his influence sort of filters down through levels, through layers, and gets to most people who work. And that's absolutely true, I think. I haven't seen as many Scorsese movies as you have. And I do like Goodfellas, although I would probably put The Godfather above Goodfellas. But I like The Aviator a lot. I think that was the first time that I was really wowed by Leonardo DiCaprio, too.
Yeah, he's amazing in that movie.
And you know, Scorsese has been really behind DiCaprio for a long time. And I remember seeing Gangs of New York, which I don't think is that good, and watching DiCaprio and being unimpressed with him, especially in comparison to Daniel Day-Lewis in that movie. But in The Aviator, DiCaprio just kills it the whole time. He's awesome.
I agree with you pretty much exactly. You know, Gangs of New York, I don't think he was there yet.
Like, yeah.
He wasn't in the league. Now I think it would be a different story if those two were shared the screen again, you know?
But, yeah.
The Aviator, I mean, that whole movie is basically a technical and acting, like, masterclass,
yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
King of Comedy, though, if anyone wants to see a good movie that was ahead of its time, you know, it's about a guy who wants to be a comedian or a late night host, and he basically, you know, goes and kidnaps the Johnny Carson type.
Right.
So it's De Niro playing this weird, creepy guy who kidnaps Jerry Lewis. But it's kind of like, I think it kind of, you know, kind of touches on the advent of reality television long before.
Yeah.
And the celebrity culture of, I'm a celebrity for not doing anything or good things or whatever,
right.
You know. So
yeah, I haven't actually seen that one, and I should. You know, I've seen some random minor Scorsese movies like Kundun, which I think is sort
good.
Of underrated.
Yeah,
it's very, very stylistically impressive. So he doesn't seem to take detours like that anymore. I mean, even something like this, like Shutter Island, which is a departure for him, is still like a huge event, and I don't know if he's gonna get back to something smaller, but. But yeah, everything that he does is fascinating, absolutely. And this movie too, despite its flaws. So also opening this week is a film that Jason did not see, but that I did, which is nominated for a couple Oscars. It's The Last Station. Christopher Plummer and Helen Mirren are both nominated. Helen Mirren for Best Actress and Christopher Plummer for Best Supporting Actor, which is stupid because they both have essentially the same amount of screen time in this film, which is about the last days of Leo Tolstoy, the famous Russian writer. And this is absolutely one of those movies that's just designed to win some Oscars for people. There's a lot of acting going on in this movie, a lot of sort of overwrought yelling and screaming. And in fact, we can listen to a clip and you can hear a little bit about what I'm talking about.
I believe that wealth corrupts us all. Yes, I do.
It's a keystone of the movement.
Oh, God, I know all about the movement.
If the peasants had money, they wouldn't surround themselves as we do with footmen costing 10 rubles a month.
No, they'd spend it on drink and whores.
Ah. Valentin Fedorovich.
What do you think?
Tea.
You think that 50 years from now people will eat while grown men walk around waiting on them hand and foot?
I think that's good. Bless you.
Stop scribbling. You all think he's Christ, don't you? He thinks he's Christ.
I'm not. I don't believe Lev Nikolaevich is Christ. Christ is Christ, but.
But what?
I do believe he's one of the prophets. God speaks through him. I recognize the cadence in his voice.
Oh, God, this is unbearable. No wonder I feel lonely. I'm surrounded by morons.
Oh, you're being ridiculous.
Oh, am I? I have to sit here and listen to this talk of love and God and equality, knowing all the time full well that Count Generosity here is about to give away everything we own.
Now, why do you keep going on about this? Why do you think that we should profit from the work I'm doing now, which is only meant for the sake of the people?
Stop writing!
So obviously here it's a lot of Helen Mirren and Christopher Plummer and their domestic squabble, their husband and wife. And but I kind of like this movie at first. It does have strong performances, even if they're a little overdone. But it got very drawn out by the end. And by the time Tolstoy was on his deathbed for a good half hour or something, I was just ready for him to go. So despite – unless you're an Oscar completist, you know, and you have to see every movie that's been nominated for an award, which some people want to, I think this movie can probably be skipped. But speaking of Oscars, one thing that I hope people will check out this week, opening over at the Palms, is the Oscar-nominated short films. The live-action films and the animated films are playing in two separate programs. A lot of interesting films. There's some kind of heavy but well-made dramas in the live-action category. The Australian thriller called Miracle Fish, which is sort of a different take on the shooting rampage genre, I guess you would call it. And another film in that program called The Door, which is about the aftermath of the Chernobyl disaster, but is very well handled. But my personal highlight in the animation program is the new film for Wallace and Gromit, the classic stop-motion animated characters. It's their first short film, I think, since 1995. They had a feature in 2005 called The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which was a lot of fun. And it's just really entertaining, very clever, lots of fun sight gags, and just a really well-made film. And so if for nothing else, people should check it out to see the new Wallace and Gromit movie. And if you're a Scorsese fan, maybe see Shutter Island, I think. You know, it's worth it. It's worth it on the big screen, I think, over renting it, probably.
Oh, if you're a Scorsese fan, you're going to see it anyway. But I think even if you're just the guy, someone who wants to go to the movies, you know, and, you know, just see something different that's out
there. Yeah.
It's worth seeing in the theater, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if you want to see it, it's worth a trip to the theater. So, Jason Harris, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Did you want to do your Shutter Island impression before we go?
No.
No? All right. You're going to deprive the world of that brilliance?
We're on Shutter Island.
It's scary. Oh, man. All right. Never mind. Thank you. Thank you anyway.
Do you want to do your Last Station impression?
No, I don't have a Last Station impression.
All right.
So we'll hold off on the impressions maybe for another time in the future.
Yeah.
So. That's it then. Thank you. Thank you
for joining
me.
Strong ending.
Absolutely.
We
really killed it there. For Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.